Welcome to the Power Academy podcast. Join a global community of believers who are switching on their faith.
This is the last part, the fourth part of a teaching that I've been going through the last four Saturdays on authority and identity. We started out this series, we covered a lot of ground, talking about what our true identity is, that we are children of God first. We've been following the life of Moses over the last few weeks, how he was a Hebrew baby raised in Pharaoh's house as an Egyptian. He had the original identity crisis, got a word from God, made a paragraph out of it, tried to help God out, tried to make it come to pass, ended up in a mess, hiding on the backside of the desert. But God actually used the very thing that Moses was running from. He turned it around and caused Moses to be a deliverer for the people. And we followed Moses' life and journey as he learned that his true identity wasn't in even his heritage, but it was in who God said he was. And God called him, and God chose him, and his identity needed to be in that. Now, this was a process for Moses, and we can read this through the book of Exodus. We followed his life through the book of Exodus. But eventually it came to a point where Moses realized that not only did it was where his identity was, but there was authority that came out of that identity. Authority comes from understanding our true identity. When we understand who we are as children of God, we walk with the boldness and the authority that position carries, right? When a policeman puts his uniform on and puts his weapon in his pocket and his badge on his shirt, and he walks out into the neighborhood, people recognize him as authority because of his identity. They see him walking in his identity and know that man carries authority. Some of us today, we've heard a little bit about authority. Mm-hmm. We're trying to use it, and we've been discouraged because we haven't seen the results that we were looking for. And really, it comes from having had a broken or a misplaced identity. The world that we live in today is full of identity confusion. Mm. And identity and gender are not the same things, but gender confusion happens as a result of a broken identity. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a symptom that we see in society where people are so messed up and so broken in their true identity that it spills over into their physical realm, into their soul, into their body, into gender confusion. Okay, but really that's just a symptom, I believe, of a misplaced identity. When we understand who God created us to be, we will naturally walk in that authority. And other people will see us walking in that authority.
That's right. Amen.
Moses came to the point where he recognized that. And you remember the story, he's standing at the edge of the Red Sea.
Yeah.
And he's like, God is going to deliver us. Suddenly boldness came upon Moses in Exodus chapter 14. And he said to the millions of Israelites that were there, you know, don't worry about the invading army. Listen, God is going to deliver us.
Right.
And all of a sudden, this was a turning point for Moses, because God says to Moses, Moses, why are you asking me?
Come on.
In other words, he came to a place of maturity where it's time for Moses to use what God had given him.
Mm.
This is a place of growth,
yeah.
Right? This is a place where all believers, we need to aspire to. Where it comes up to a point where we need to use what we have, to be established in the truth, till that identity is rooted on the inside of us, but not just stop there, to come to that point of actually using that authority. We compared the life of David to the life of Moses, and the differences in how they responded to situations. David ran at Goliath with full confidence, even though in the natural he didn't have an army, he was ill-equipped, he had just a slingshot. But the thing that enabled him to run in such authority, even in the face of adversity, even knowing his own weaknesses and size, you know, mm-hmm. the limitations of his stature and experience. He didn't even have armor on, for goodness sake, right? But the reason that he was able to run at that giant with such authority was because he knew his identity.
Wow.
And that made the difference, amen. So we need to get away from looking at our outward exterior.
Right.
God doesn't look at the outward exterior, doesn't look at outward appearances. He looks at your heart,
amen.
And when we understand that, our authority is going to flow through that. So we looked at lots of different things. Go back and read those things. We looked at the ways that Jesus used authority, how he was a man who walked in authority, okay? And even to the point where demons knew. Right. This is a man. We looked in Mark chapter 5, the demoniac man last time, how Jesus was a man that walked in authority. But today, I want to look about how you walk in authority.
Come on.
Now, we've established in previous lessons that Jesus gave us power and he gave us authority as his disciples over every work of the enemy, every single work, all sickness and all disease, everything demonic, every work of the enemy, we have power and we have authority. Mm-hmm. Those things are really important because we need to know that we have both. We looked at Luke 9 verse 1 and 2 and other scriptures. You can go back and get the notes on those. But we have power and authority. That means that we have the right to rule and reign like a magistrate. We have the legal rights of authority. Mm-hmm. We are legally within our rights. To use authority over the things of the earth is within our legal rights as Christians, okay? We have the legal rights, but we also have the dunamis power of God backing us up. Mm. That means that when you speak, when you use your authority, when you walk in your God-given dominion, which, by the way, started in Genesis chapter 3,
right.
Okay? We need to understand that the miracle-working power of God is backing us up.
That's good.
That is the dunamis power of God. We can walk in the rights of our authority. Mm-hmm. We have a right to exercise it. But more than that, it's not just words. We have the power of the kingdom of heaven that backs us up. Amen? Mm. So today, I want to look at a few things here. One of the things that people really get stuck on is what happens if I use authority and it doesn't seem to work?
Uh-oh.
Oh, my goodness. So I'm going to answer that question. But before I get there, I want us to look in Mark chapter 5 again. Now, before we looked at the story of the demoniac man, we're gonna go on a little bit further down in the chapter. I love this passage because it has so many things in it, right? So this is the woman that had the issue of blood, the woman with the issue of blood. Now, this is also mentioned in Matthew chapter 9, Matthew 9, verse 18 to 26, and Luke 8, 40 to 56. We're going to look in Mark's account here, okay? So we're going to look here down in verse 24. So it says, so Jesus went with them, many people followed him, pressed upon him. Verse 25, a certain woman with a hemorrhage of blood for 12 years, okay? She had suffered much under many physicians. She spent all the money she had and didn't grow any better. Instead, she grew worse. Now, this is important because I want you to see that your authority is going to work even if you've been in a situation for a long time. Okay, there is a turning point. Sometimes people with chronic conditions, mm-hmm. you know, it's not the same. If you've had a chronic condition, there's some dynamics in play that you don't have to deal with or overcome mm-hmm. if you've just had a headache for 5 minutes.
Right.
Okay, this woman had been sick to the point that sickness had gotten on the inside of her. Now, we started out this talking about the link between identity and authority. When people have been sick for a very long time, it's part of their identity that gets wrapped up in being sick. Okay, mm-hmm. I had epilepsy for decades, right? Mm-hmm. And my confession was, you know, my name is Carly. I have epilepsy. Mm-hmm. Every time we filled out a form, you had to confess it, mm-hmm. right? You had to mark down your medical history every time I applied for a job or anything like that. And I didn't realize the link there between my authority and my identity to where epilepsy had become an intrinsic part of who I was. It wasn't just something that we was dealing with in the flesh. People often think that sickness is
right.
just in the flesh
right.
or poverty is just an outward circumstance.
Right, right.
But really, those things start to get on the inside of us, whether that's sick thinking or poverty thinking or whatever it is, and it starts to change how we relate to God, how we relate to others in the world around us.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we try to operate in authority, we wonder why it's not working and we get frustrated because maybe we use words,
right.
we let out things, words out of our mouth that sound good,
right.
but they seem to have no effect.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of issues there. One of those is the broken identity, okay? This woman had that sickness had got on the inside of her. She was going to have to change the way she thought
right.
and connect the pieces that were missing in her identity before her authority was going to work, okay? And the other thing is sometimes people, you know, maybe they got their identity in the right place. Maybe they're solid on who they are.
Right.
and they speak words and nothing happened. And we're going to deal with that in a moment, but that's because we don't understand what happens when those words leave our mouth and we quit too soon. Okay, so when I look at this in Mark chapter 5, okay, this woman had been sick for a long time, for 12 years. She tried everything else.
Right.
Tried everything else, rather grew worse. But look at this. When she heard of Jesus, now this is really important because this is a woman that's been dealing with sickness for a long time, literally tried everything else. But when she heard the truth, she allowed the truth to spark faith on the inside of us. This is really important. I've got this word heard underlined in my Bible, okay? So I want you to say, you can put this in the comments. When she heard the word, put heard the word.
Amen.
You know, you are hearers of the word.
Amen.
Okay? In Romans 10, 17, it says faith. Faith is how we access the promises of God. Comes by hearing.
Amen.
And hearing by the word of God. This is important. She heard the word of God, okay? And she came in the crowd behind her. So what she was hearing, she didn't allow it to just go in one ear and come out the other.
Right.
You know, you've been teaching on how to hear God, okay?
Right.
And then there's an obedience piece of that.
Yeah.
Okay? We can't just be, James says, we can't just be hearers of the word and not doers.
Right.
Right? So we need to allow what we're hearing to drive our action. You know, this is one way that we know that what we're hearing has taken root. It didn't just go in and we think, oh, that was a nice, neat message.
Right.
Sometimes maybe we go to church on a Sunday morning. Maybe we listen to a nice message or we listen to a teaching or we read a book or we read some scripture, whatever, or God speaks to us one time. We think, oh, that was awesome. Yeah, that's a great bit of revelation. But we don't do anything with it.
Mm.
You see, one of the reasons we know that this woman was impacted by what she heard was it changed her action.
Mm.
She was in a desperate situation, but when she heard the truth,
come on,
it hit her in a place where it couldn't do anything else but provide an action. Action is the fruit of faith.
Come
okay,
on.
We want to look at this. So she came. I've got the word came underlined in my scripture. She came. She heard it, and she it caused her to be somewhere actually she shouldn't have been.
Right. Yeah.
She was unclean, right?
Mm-hmm.
She had a lot to lose.
Oh, yeah, she could have been stoned for that. They would have killed her. They would have killed her for that.
Absolutely. So, but she was, you know, people when they've come to the end of themselves, mm-hmm. that's a great opportunity for them to consider the word of God.
Yeah.
Right? She had nothing to lose at this point. And she says, I've got the word came and in the crowd underlined. She says, she came in the crowd behind him and she touched his garment. Why did she touch his garment? You know, this is a really interesting thing. When we're talking about a response of faith, but also authority. Understand in the scripture, what people wore was a symbol of their authority, just like a policeman would wear a uniform. I mean, we'd recognize him as a symbol of his authority. Garments in the scriptures are very important. You know, the robes that Jesus wore were also very important. You could look at this, the prodigal son, okay? Luke, this is just a side issue here, prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. Mm-hmm. When that son came back to his father,
right.
It was a robe that he put on him. It
Come
was
on.
Sandals on his feet.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much in this. I'd love to have the time to unpack this. But he did three things for him in Luke chapter 15 there. He put a ring on his finger. Okay, he put shoes on his feet, and he put a robe on his back. He gave this son a new identity.
Come on, amen.
You know, when that son came back, he was so repentant.
So
I've gone astray. I've realized that I've done wrong. I've squandered my inheritance. I've been so rude and so disrespectful. But the moment that son came back, man, he repented. Guess what? The father was watching for him.
Come on,
he was watching for him. Okay, and when that son comes back in, he said he doesn't even ask him to repent. He's not even interested in his apology.
Wow.
Right? I want you to understand, no matter what situation you've been on, no matter how far you've run, how far you've fallen, how long you've been sick, how bad, how destitute, how the longevity of that desperate situation that's become a reality to you. No matter how long it's been, it could
Come
have been 12 years, okay? Whatever it's been, the minute that we turn back to the Father and we start listening to
Come
his
on.
Voice and responding
Thank
to
you,
his voice, we're back in the family.
Amen. Come on.
You're back in the family.
Thank
Your
you,
identity
Lord.
Is restored.
Amen.
The Father's been longing for you
Come on.
To listen to his word. He's been drawing
Amen.
You to him with his love. Amen. It is the goodness of God that causes man to repentance. And this son, as he comes back, not only does the father not even listen to his apology, right? He's not even worried. He knows what he's been doing anyway. The father already knows what you've been up to anyway, okay? He already knows the limit of your unbelief. He's not a surprise to him when we suddenly confess, okay? But he puts a robe on his shoulders. He says, this is your new identity. Not only does he identify him, he has a party, okay?
Come on.
He puts a ring on his finger. You know, a ring in the scripture is a symbol of authority. Mm-hmm. A king would use a signet ring to seal the documents. Mm-hmm. Guess what? When we came into the family of God, you can read this in Ephesians chapter 1. You know, we've been sealed with a signet ring of the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
And, you know, our spirits are sealed. Not only are we back in the family, but our authority as part of that identity is sealed.
Amen.
It's sealed. And he put shoes on his feet. That's a symbol of an exchanged life.
Come on.
In the scriptures, when they exchanged sandals, I'm thinking of Ruth and Boaz.
Yeah.
You know, Boaz, you know, they exchanged sandals. It's a symbol of an exchange that happened. Mm-hmm. In other words, their old life had gone. The new life had come. Your life was bought at a price.
Come on.
Amen. And you have been given the exchanged life.
So good.
You've been restored. Stored in your identity and in your authority.
Amen.
The reason this woman, I believe, touched the hem of his garment was because in those times, you know, this the hem of the garment was a place, it's like a placeholder for authority.
Wow.
You know, on the bottom, on the corners of the hem of the garment would be the tassels.
Yeah.
Those tassels were symbolic.
Mm.
You think back in the Old Testament, the story of King David,
right,
when he was in the cave with King Saul, right? He didn't kill King Saul. He just cut off the tassel of the hem of his garment. It was a symbol that Saul's authority had been taken. Mm. David was so gracious. He says, touch not the Lord's anointed.
Come on.
He didn't take his life. He took his authority. Okay, and so the tassels that hung on those garments were really important, and this would be something that the woman, seeing Jesus and seeing the robes that he wore and hearing of the miracles that were done, she would have known, this is the man of authority that I'm looking for. One touch is all the authority, is all that I need to access that power that man contains. Man, there's so much in this. In Matthew's account in 9 verse 20, she said, if only I may touch the hem of his garment, the hem of his garment. You know, in Numbers 15:38, there was the whole thing about tassels was explained there, that the tassel, the hem of the garment, was seen as a symbol of deliverance. The tassels on their garments were to remind them of what the Lord had done to lead them when they came out of Egypt. It was a symbol. Each one of those tassels contained a strand that was one of the Lord's commandments. And it was symbolic to them. They carried around those commandments because it was a symbol of their deliverance, of their freedom from bondage.
Right.
When that woman touched the hem of... Man, this gets me going. You can probably say, when that woman touched the hem of his garment, she wasn't just hanging on to Jesus. Oh, Lord, please have pity on me. Please, please help me.
Right.
She wasn't a desperate woman grabbing onto his garments. No, she was grabbing onto the authority, the very symbol of her deliverance.
Wow.
She was saying, when I touch those garments. When I touch those garments, I'm grabbing a hold of my deliverance. I'm walking free from bondage.
Wow.
That was the type of authority that she saw in Jesus. That was the authority that he was carrying.
Wow, it reminds me of Matthew 25. I think it's in verse 25. It says that it talks about the violent, take it by force.
Come on, we got to reach out and take it and grab a hold of it.
That's it.
You know, in Mark 6:56, you know, this, you know, what her one action, it caught on, right? Your actions are going to catch on. It says this, whenever Jesus then, this is the next chapter, whenever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplace and begged him that they might just touch the hem of the garment.
Come on.
And as many who touched him were healed.
Mm-hmm.
She reached out and touched the hem of his garment as a symbol of that authority. You know, in Malachi, you know the word fringe and hem and tassel, they're actually translated as wings.
Yeah.
Okay, wings. And this is where it comes from, right? He says this in Malachi 4, verse 2, it says, the Son of Righteousness, this is Jesus, will arise with healing in his wings.
Wow.
She knew when she saw Jesus, that's the man with the tassel.
Come
There's
on.
Healing in the wings. There's authority. authority in the wings. When she was reaching out and grabbing hold of those tassels, it wasn't just an act of desperation. It was an act of intention. Mm. Remember, she heard the word of God and she allowed that word of God to bring forth and reach out to the man of authority. If I may touch his garments, and she said, I shall be healed.
Come on.
She determined, she spoke out of her word with her words, you know, authority. She determined in that moment with her words and her actions how she was going to receive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, this is so important. Moses, standing at the edge of Exodus chapter 14, standing at the edge of the Red Sea, he determined how those Israelites were going to be delivered when he used his authority. He was the one that took the rod of God in his in his hand, and he touched the water. And when he exercised his authority, God was able to withhold and open up in the water a passage of deliverance.
Wow.
When that woman used her authority, she reached out and grabbed hold of Jesus' authority, and she was the one that determined how she was going to receive.
Wow.
God is waiting for you today.
Come on.
To use your authority. Amen. So he is waiting to act. He says, I am ready. I'm ready to perform my word. This is what he said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah, I think it's 1 verse 12. He says, I'm ready. You've seen well, Jeremiah, for I'm ready to perform my word. He is ready. You just say the word. You just say the word. You know, Jesus in John 6 verse 63 says, the words that I speak are spirit and they are life.
Amen.
Not the words that I'm just thinking about or wondering about.
Right.
No. The words that we speak.
Amen.
The words that we speak are spirit and they are life. I'm going to ask you today, what are the words that you're speaking?
Come on.
What's coming out of your mouth? Life and death. Proverbs says life and death are in the power of your tongue.
Yeah.
So what's coming out of your mouth? Because the way that the authority that God has given you is released is through the words that you speak.
Yeah.
Jesus said, you know, we went through this last time. Jesus is giving you power and he's giving you authority, but he can't grab a hold of your lips and make a move.
Come on.
You know, this woman was healed because she said, right? When I touch the hem of his garment, that's how I'm going to be healed. What are you saying about how you're receiving? You get to determine how you receive from God. God, Jesus did not determine how that woman received.
Right.
She determined it.
Come on.
She determined it with the words of her authority, the words that came out of our mouth.
So good.
What are you saying about your situation? Right? What are we saying? You know, the fringe, the hem of the garment, that's where the healing is. We don't even have to grab onto the fringe of Jesus' garments anymore, right? Because we contain we contain Jesus, right? We contain that power. We contain that authority on the inside. We don't need a touch. You've already been filled.
Come on.
You don't need a touch when you've been filled, right? You've been filled with the power of God.
Amen.
Jesus is the word that I speak, a spirit, and they are life. You know, the word to speak is the Greek word. It's pneuma.
Mm-hmm.
It is the very life of God. You could say Jesus was saying, when I speak, you know, when I pneuma, that is the Holy Spirit. That is the breath of God coming out. It actually means the superhuman breath, the power of God. When we speak, you know, he's put his words in our mouth, you know, and they don't return void. Isaiah 55:11, they're not going to return void, right?
Come on.
But they're going to prosper in the very thing that they were sent. He's put his words in our mouth, and when we speak, authority is released. It's like the very pneuma, the breath of God. The power, the superhuman power of the Holy Spirit is coming out of your mouth.
Come on.
Man, when we understand that, we're going to be a lot more intentional about what we say.
Amen.
And about what we don't say.
Amen.
Right? This is super important. So they're the pneuma of God, but also he says, it's the life of God.
Mm.
What kind of life is that?
Come on.
When we speak, it's not just the breath of God that's coming out of our mouth.
Wow.
It's the very life of God.
Wow.
This is Zoe.
Wow.
This is the vigorous. This is real life.
Man.
That's what the Zoe life means.
Yep.
When you speak the breath of God, you're speaking life as it should be, right? It's the Zoe life. It's the life that's full of vitality and vigor. It means to be real and genuine. It's the power-filled, blessed life that you're supposed to live.
Amen.
That's the John 10:10 life.
That really is.
Right?
Amen. It's the abundant life.
That's the abundant life. We have a whole television program called The Abundant Life. You should watch it. It costs us lots of money, right? but you know, this is John 10:10. It's the enemy that comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but it's Jesus that comes to give us life, life more abundantly.
Amen.
Okay? So when we understand our identity as children of God, we're going to start naturally walking in that authority. We're going to start. Boldness.
Come on.
Is going to come upon us.
Amen.
And we need to understand it's the life, it's the words that we speak,
mm-hmm.
not the words that we just think about. What are the words that we speak? Jesus says, the words that I speak are the ones that contain life.
Amen.
The words that I speak are the ones that contain power, that contain the very breath of God. We need to be speaking into those situations because when we're speaking, we're literally injecting the power of God into that world,
mm-hmm.
into that body, into those dead finances. We're literally calling them things that be not.
Amen.
As though they are.
Yep.
And God can't do that for you. Oh, this is hitting home with someone.
Come on.
Right? We're the only creatures created by God with the ability to speak.
Mm.
And that's powerful. That's because we're the only creatures that God created that have authority.
Wow.
You know, that's one of the things in the garden when the serpent spoke to Eve,
mm-hmm.
he was using, there was an unauthorized use of power.
Wow.
He didn't have the authority to speak. And if Eve really knew in the garden who she was, the minute that snake spoke to her, she would have said, shut your mouth. Who do you think you are? How dare you speak to me? The devil was coming at her with an unauthorized use of power.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have the authority to demonstrate and to speak those words. She should have shut him down in that moment rather than listening to him.
Mm.
And that in the moment, you know, you need to go back. We mentioned this more in the first lesson, okay? But you need to go back and look up those lessons because it's powerful. That authority that was God given to mankind was given up in the garden, but Jesus restored it to us.
Wow.
But this, at the same time now, God isn't going to open our mouth and make us speak, right? We need to be letting the authority of God come forth from our lips. Plugging that authority into our identity, that's the power, that's the root of it.
Man.
You know, your authority isn't going to have any impact if it isn't coming from a place of identity. It just isn't. You have authority because you're a child of God. And because you're a child of God, you have a right to use that authority. And you have the supernatural power of God backing you up. So what mm-hmm. happens when we use words of authority and it seems like nothing is happening,
mm.
right? Have you ever found yourself frustrated?
Right.
Okay. More than once, maybe.
Right.
More than once. When we've been speaking to a situation and nothing seems to change. Now, this woman, she spoke out the situation. She grabbed a hold of the authority, okay? But she still had to say. She still had to act.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 17, verse 20. We're talking about unbelief. For Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, truly I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain.
Mm-hmm.
If you have faith, you will say.
Come on.
Okay?
Amen. Faith
speaks. This is really important. Faith speaks.
Mm-hmm.
When we faith doesn't just think. It's not just passive. It just mm-hmm. doesn't sit there like, you know, like a chick waiting to get fat in the nest. Faith speaks.
Amen.
Okay? And there came a point in Moses' life where God, you know, he was reassuring him, building him up, equipping him. We've been listening to all these awesome teachings. But now, Moses, you got to use the rod of God that's in your hand.
Come on.
You got to speak.
Amen.
You know, it's dependent. You know, God acting and releasing power in our life is dependent on us using ours first. This is the system. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. It is how we access the promises of God that the grace has already provided. But
Amen.
It's got to speak. Faith isn't silent. Faith isn't silent. The problem is some of us have realized that unbelief also speaks.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Unbelief also speaks. I want to look at this because I think this really is an issue which people deal with a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. Let's look in Mark 11 and back up a little bit in Mark 11 here. This is the story of the fig tree, okay? Now, I'm going to try and do this justice in the next 10 minutes, okay? But we have a whole teaching series on this called Manifesting Miracles, okay? This is another one that will be really helpful to you, okay? So Mark 11, we know the story of Mark 11. It's the lesson of the fig tree, okay? Now, reading in verse 12, Mark 11, verse 12, on the next day when they returned from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing afar a fig tree with leaves, he went to see perhaps if there was this Jesus speaking, if there was anything on it, and he found nothing on it because it wasn't the season. But look at what Jesus said in verse 14, Mark 11, verse 14. Jesus said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. You know, this is really important. You might think, you might breeze over this,
right?
And I think, but it says specifically, and his disciples heard it. In other words, they witnessed that event. They witnessed and they heard. That was intentional. I mean, Jesus wasn't just mad at fig trees, although I think he was remembering the garden, okay? But, you know, he wasn't...
You think Adam and Eve ate a fig rather than an apple.
He said they made fig leaves to hide their shame, okay?
They made fig leaves to hide their shame. It never says an apple. It just says of the tree. They ate the fruit of the tree.
Yeah, the fruit of the tree.
So we think it might be figs.
Anyway.
So Jesus had a bit of a problem with
figs. He had a bit of an issue with the fig tree. But it wasn't personal about this fig tree. He wanted his disciples to hear what he was saying. Mm-hmm. He cursed the fig tree.
Wow.
Okay. Life and death are in the power of the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so just as we can speak words of life, we can speak words of death also. In fact, this is how we should be praying.
Right.
Anything that comes against us, anything that's of the enemy, anything that is a contrary to a promise in the word of God, the reason that you have power in your tongue is to speak death to the things of the enemy. That's what it's for, not to speak bad of your brothers and sisters, right? Oh. But, you know, your tongue is there for important. It's a rudder that steers the whole ship,
yeah.
Okay? Right? James actually says, "Is out of all of the members, the tongue is the hardest one to tame."
It really is.
All the members of your body, right? We've got to tame the tongue so that we use it appropriately, because what comes out of our mouth steers the whole ship of our body. If our body was the ship, the tongue is the rudder. Okay, and what comes out of your mouth is an important indication, and your flesh is going to follow suit. So Jesus is using his tongue, his words here to curse the fig tree, because it should have been bearing fruit, right? His disciples heard that. Now this is in their mind.
Right.
Remember this woman. Remember the woman that with the issue of blood. It says she heard about Jesus.
Come on.
You know, hearing is so important. Why? Because faith comes by hearing.
Come on.
And belief also comes by hearing. It's just which voice is speaking, are we listening to more intently?
That's good.
Okay?
That's good.
Which voice are we listening to more intently? In verse 20, it says, so they went about their way with this memory in their mind. In verse 20, it says, in the morning, so the next day, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered up from the roots.
Mm.
Now, this is really interesting. Peter says, calling to remembrance. You remember the day before? He said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." He was surprised. And Jesus said, he wasn't surprised.
Right.
Why? He says, look, have faith in God.
Come on.
Why? Because faith speaks. Look. Have faith in God, for truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes in what he says, he will come to pass, and he will have whatever he says. Okay? Right, this is really important, because Jesus is basically saying, you can't just be thinking this. When you have faith, you're going to be speaking it.
Right. Come on.
Faith speaks to it.
Amen.
There's a whole lot more speaking, a lot more saying in just that couple of verses than there is believing.
It really is, yeah.
So oftentimes it's not what we're believing that's wrong. It's what we're speaking that's not connected to what we're believing.
That's good.
Okay? Your authority is released through words.
Mm.
It's spoken. Jesus says that words that I speak, not the words that I think about,
right.
It's the words that I speak that contain life and death. Okay? So he says, look what I speak. This is really interesting. Note, though, this is what I want you to see here. It was in the morning, okay? Mm. It was in the morning that they saw the evidence, because the fig tree withered up from the roots. This is really important we understand this, because there's another account of this,
mm-hmm.
okay? In Matthew 21, verse 20, this is Matthew's account of exactly the same incident. And sometimes it can look like in the scripture, like there's a contradiction.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
But the word doesn't contradict itself.
Amen.
It completes itself.
Come on.
This is important. Look at Matthew's account. Now, in the morning, in verse 18, this is Matthew 21, verse 18, When he returned to the city, became hungry, starts out the same. When he saw a fig tree by the road, he went to it and found nothing on it except leaves. Sounds like the same story. Yeah. Okay. And he said to it, let no fruit ever grow on you again. And it sounds like the same story. But look, immediately the fig tree withered away. This is really interesting. And actually in verse 20, the disciples, it says, when they saw it, they were amazed, saying, how did the fig tree wither away instantly?
Wow.
Okay, so this seems like a complete contradiction. Here it's saying immediately it withered away and instantly they saw it. And the next, in Mark's account, it's saying, you know what, it was the next day and they saw it. Why? Because, and this gives us a clue, it withered up from the roots.
Wow.
Understand sometimes that we're going to speak words. We're going to release our authority in the power of our words, and those words are immediately going to go to action. So actually, both of these accounts are right.
Right.
But they were just referring to different parts of that tree. You see, we can easily get discouraged because we understand our identity. We start operating in authority. Mm-hmm. We start releasing our words through speaking. But then we're like, that didn't work.
So it did work. The tree did wither up immediately, but it withered up from the roots. Therefore, visually, in the natural, they couldn't see that.
Right.
So they could have thought it hasn't worked.
It, on the outside, it had worked. It looked like it didn't.
That's right. It had worked. It was just below the surface. And then 24 hours later, they could see it for real, like,
absolutely,
you know, in the flesh. But really, what went on first of all was it withered in the roots.
Amen. And we need to understand this. When we release words of power, they do go to work immediately, but sometimes they're in a realm that we can't see,
right?
Yeah. How many times have we prayed for people and they have sickness or disease and operating in their body, but it's not visual?
Right.
We can't see it yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe it just doesn't have any outward symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what we mean. We need to understand that when we release power and authority, our words go immediately, instantaneously into action. But sometimes those words are acting on the inside of our flesh, and it takes a period of time before we see an outward manifestation. What we need to make sure that we hang on to in that moment is that we don't just give up,
come on,
or quit, yeah, because we can't see the instantaneous results on the outside in the flesh yet.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean your words aren't working. They're working powerfully in the very thing that we sent it to. And really, this comes back to, do we believe the word of God or not?
Come on.
Look at this. I want to show you this. I quoted this earlier, but I want to read it to you because, you know, this is really important. We need to know what happens when those words leave our mouth so we don't get discouraged and just kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater thinking, well, that's not been very effective.
Right.
You know, this faith stuff doesn't work.
Right.
Okay. It's just working in a realm that maybe you haven't noticed yet. Look at this. This is Isaiah 55. Which, by the way, comes shortly after Isaiah 53 and 54, which is very significant. But anyway, okay. In verse 11, the prophet saying, so this is God speaking, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, by the way, it shall not return to me void,
come on,
but it shall accomplish that with which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth with singing before you, and all of the trees of the field, here we are, trees again, shall clap their hands. Those trees did not have a choice but to reflect the word of God that was spoken. That was it. Creation, and we know what? We're living in creation. We are created beings interacting with creation, has no choice but to respond to the spoken word of God. Why? Mm. Because that creation is under authority. It's under authority. That is why Eve in the garden should have come down so hard on the serpent.
Mm.
Because that creation had no right to speak.
Mm.
You're the only one that has a right to speak. This is what creation is supposed to do. Respond in obedience to the word of God that is spoken.
Come on.
Right? This is why the fig tree had no choice but to respond to the words of Jesus. Had no choice but to respond to the words of Jesus. And it actually lays here out here how we need to speak and then what the response should be.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, we speak the word of God, if we understand that it goes to prosper, and then our next step is to go out with joy.
Come on.
And to be led forth with peace. So if you've spoken, you know, understand your authority is linked to your identity, then speak the words of God, release it, but then what's the next appropriate action? It's joy. It's joy. You know what Jesus didn't do when he spoke to that fig tree?
What's that?
Oh my goodness, it hasn't worked. Am I really the Messiah? Okay? You know, this is he understood that when he spoke those words, exactly where those words were working was in a realm that he couldn't see first. Sometimes what we do, though, is we speak those words and then we get discouraged. When really the appropriate response would be, I've spoken the word of God and now I'm just going to get into joy.
Come on.
Knowing that my words are acting in realms, whether I see it or not immediately, I'm gonna praise God. So, I'm going to rejoice.
Amen.
And I'm not going to let the devil or a lack of outward evidence steal my peace.
Come on.
Amen.
Karen.
That is how we link our words to our authority and our authority to our identity. So I want to encourage you, keep speaking the word of God. Keep speaking it out. It's the words that you speak that leave your lips that contain spirit, the pneuma breath of God, and they contain life. They're the words that you speak, not the words that you think about. And don't be dissuaded. Don't be disrupted. Don't be discouraged by lack of outward evidence. Your words are powerful and they will not return void. Amen. I just want to encourage you that I feel like there are some people that need to be speaking.
Amen. That's powerful. Praise God. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Great lesson. Amen. And you can go back and watch that again. Praise God. They'll cut that lesson out and my lesson from today. They'll put it inside the Power Academy platform so you can enroll in there. You'll also get the curriculum to these two lessons today. I think they'll be sent to you probably Monday or Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
If you're enrolled, you'll get them sent to you automatically. You'll have access to those as well as the quizzes that go with them as well. So I want to encourage you, if you're not enrolled in Power Academy, make sure enroll today. Tell your friends about it as well.
Amen.
Remember, YouTube, Facebook, we're gonna pray for you in a minute, gonna answer your questions, pray for you, and we've got a code to give you. But right now, YouTube and Facebook, press share on YouTube, press the thumbs up, go scroll to the top, press the thumbs up, make sure that you tell everyone that you like this video. So press the thumbs up on YouTube at the top. If you're not subscribed to our channel, press subscribe and the little bell icon. If you're on Facebook, press share. Make sure that all your friends and family can see this. Praise God on your wall. That will really benefit this word getting out. This will really help this word getting out. Oh, amen. And tell people about Power Academy. You can take the Power Academy link. It's learn.terridisministries.com. You can take that link and send it to people. You can email it or text it and say, hey, check out Power Academy. You'll like this. And people can enroll right away. Enrollment is open right now and it's free of charge. Praise God.
Remember, I'm sure there are lots of questions, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you can take these questions to the discussion page mm-hmm. in the learning platform, into the community page, and you can post them in there as well. So your questions will get answered. There's always too many questions for us to answer live, mm-hmm. but those questions are important. You know, it's how we learn, right?
Amen.
That's how we learn. So make sure that if we don't get to your question, you go over to the learning platform and then they can be addressed in there.
So Diane asks, was the snake deceived by the devil? Was the snake, the serpent in the garden, deceived by the devil?
I don't think the snake was deceived by the devil. I think that Satan was using an unauthorized, it was an unauthorized use of power by which he possessed an animal. Okay, and you know, he's a fallen angel. So he has some limited powers and will, but he was stepping beyond those. And I don't. This opens a whole can of worms. But the short answer is no. The snake wasn't deceived. He was overtaken by the enemy's unauthorized use of power.
Amen. Shannon says here that she already started speaking the word from a couple of weeks ago in his Power Academy, mm-hmm. and she's already seeing results. Praise God in his word, this works. Amen.
I mean, I think there's a testimony, actually.
And then I like what Keisha says. Keisha says, note to self, start speaking the word of God.
Amen.
So it was a note to herself, but now the world knows.
This is really cool. A Wonderful Night on YouTube put a little testimony. I meant to read this earlier, but she says it actually happened on Power Hour on Wednesday
mm-hmm.
that she was having seizure symptoms at the beginning of the broadcast, but by the end, she said the seizure symptoms were completely gone.
Hallelujah.
Amen. When we speak the word of God, they go immediately to work, even if it's in an area we can't see initially.
Praise God. That's so good. Amen. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Donna says she loves the community page. Amen. The community page is really going to help you there. I want to tell you, you can you can go to the community page if you're enrolled, and with Power Academy, go to the community page, ask questions. You can discuss these lessons, praise God, and talk about those with the like-minded classmates in there. And also, you can contact our ministry if you need prayer, if you need anything. You can contact our ministry. We have a phone line, 719-600-3344. That's 719-600-3344. We also have a separate phone number in South Africa. We have a South African office. A lot of people don't know this, but we have Teredes Ministries Africa, and we're actually reaching the continent of Africa through Teredes Ministries Africa. And we have offices there in Cape Town. We have staff there in Cape Town and near Cape Town, and they have offices, and they have a phone line there, a phone center that you can phone, and they'll actually pray for you and you know, answer your questions and that there as well. So they'll put the phone number on your screen. I don't remember the South African phone number, but they'll put the number there. I believe they have WhatsApp on in South Africa as well.
They do. And Morgan has an interesting question on here. She says she's an African-American and she's a different outlook on some of the challenges that we face, having difficulty praying in authority praying for those in authority, for it seems that some people have turned a deaf ear to their particular needs, only amplifying the negative. So how do I get through thoughts that God is not hearing our prayers in certain areas? Do we just have a wait and see attitude, even in the outward, even if the it seems like the outlook is bleak? And I think that the crux of the problem here is, as a believer, is we need to understand that we have an identity as children of God before we do as being, you know, I could say I have an identity as being English,
right?
Okay, a white English woman, or whether you're an African American, or whether you're South American, or whatever it is, we have an identity that supersedes that identity.
Amen. Come on.
And this is beyond cultural differences. Right. This is beyond, you know, where we're the country that we're born in, or the family that we're raised in, or the economic society, or anything else. And when we start to identify more with being a child of God and allowing that identity to supersede and become our reality, you know, this is why you find people, we're going to start to see breakthrough, okay? And I understand that sometimes it's challenging for you to pray for people in authority. But I feel like as believers, we have a position to pray for them, right? To respect the government and the laws of our land. Even if we don't agree with them, we have a responsibility to bless them and understand that the government isn't the one that supplies your needs.
Come on.
Okay? So in that really freed me up, because it means as children of God, we don't have to have our needs supplied by any government, good or bad, whether they Christian, non-Christian.
Right.
You know, guess what? We're not dependent on a welfare system for our needs. We have the kingdom of God. You know, it is the Lord that supplies our need. Philippians 4:10, right? And this is huge, because it means that we don't have to like people in authority. You know, and praise God, you know, you're in America. At least we live in a democracy. We got a lot to be thankful for,
Amen.
Okay, compared to some places in the world. But I think that really we need to adjust the way that we're thinking to let our identity as a child of God come forth first. And when we do that, let's walk out of that identity before, because otherwise we are going to be pulled around by the world, by cultural differences. And we're supposed to be, well, as Christians, we're supposed to be the salt and light in this world.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. We're supposed to make the difference as Christians, not as a skin color.
Our first identity.
So that has to be our first identity.
Amen.
And then once we have that established, you'll be able to find that you can pray correctly.
Amen. That's good.
Yep.
Narissa asks, what do you recommend on how to deal with a strong-willed, aggressive, full of strife, ungodly person in your life?
Bless them. Mm-hmm. Call them things that be not as though they are.
Amen.
I've used that.
Boundaries.
I've got Romans 4:17 people in my life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
you're
boundaries.
Right. Use boundaries. You know, you call them things that be not as though they are.
Mm-hmm.
You speak them things, you know, into existence, that they have self-control.
Yeah.
That, you know, you can speak blessing over them, but yeah, you're right. Set boundaries. That's practical.
Yeah. Set boundaries. Say, if you're going to talk to me like this, then I'm not going to be able to talk. You know, I'm going to have to put the phone down a little bit. And actually set boundaries, tell them, you know, that's not, I can't have this aggression, or I can't have this strife, and be nice about it, but then have boundaries. And then when they cross that boundary, say, hey, you know, I'm going to have to end this conversation, because like we said, like we agreed, you know, I'm not going to listen to this. I'm not going to let you dump on me and things like that. So boundaries are very important. We probably need to do some lessons on boundaries, relationships, things like that. That will really bless people. And then Chris says, can we speak with authority over an adult child when they're in bondage or on drugs or whatever? So it's a child, it's her child, but they're an adult child.
I think you can speak protection, and you can. There are some limits to that because they have a free will, right? Mm-hmm. So you can speak a protection around them. You can call laborers across their path. You can bring scripture back to their remembrance. These are scriptural verses. You speak scripture over them, but at the end of the day, they do have a free will. So, mm-hmm. Using our authority over somebody else doesn't supersede their free will. So there is a balance there.
Yeah. They have free will, so you can't just tell them, speak to that. You've got authority over it and most things, but you haven't got authority over God, obviously, or people.
And remember, you have authority over the demonic influences that are surrounding them.
Yeah, not them as a person, but what's influencing them.
Yeah.
And then last, we've got time for one more. Amber says, how to behave and speak to a very stubborn problem. So even if you've spoken to that problem for many years, what do we start to do today?
If you've got a real stubborn problem, actually, last lesson, Ashley was talking about fasting. If you're really in a stuck spot, fasting can be useful because if sometimes, we just have blind spots, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the Holy Spirit needs to reveal something to us. Sometimes we have a way of thinking. We have some patterns of thinking that we don't even know are there.
Right, yeah.
And just the Holy Spirit can, he'll lead you into all truth.
Amen.
So one thing that I do actually is pray in tongues. I'm going to pray in tongues.
Amen.
And I'm just still going to keep speaking, but I'm going to pray in tongues until I get some revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And don't quit. You're going to win if you don't quit. Just don't quit. You remember, ultimately the problems we have in the world are mostly rooted in the enemy. Sometimes it's our stupid flesh, okay?
Right.
So we don't give him too much credit.
Mm-hmm.
But, we live in a fallen world, and remember, the devil just doesn't have perseverance as a fruit of his spirit.
Right.
He doesn't have long suffering, so just outlast him.
Outlast the devil.
Just outlast
That's
him.
Good. And I'd encourage you, Amber, take your focus off the problem and start just praising God, speaking in tongues, praising God, and watch what happens. Sometimes we get so focused on dealing with a problem that it can become our focus. Whatever you focus on gets magnified. So start magnifying God and start disesteeming the problem and speaking in tongues like that really helps.
Your testimony can't exceed the level of your worship.
Your testimony can't exceed the level of your worship. Wow.
Thank you for joining us for this Power Academy podcast. Be sure to join our e-learning platform where you'll have access to lessons, detailed notes, and quizzes that empower you to switch on your faith. Enroll for free at learn.terradezministries.com.